Churches and religions worldwide are warning that climate change and abuse of the environment is against God's will. Right here in the Vatican, Pope Benedict XVI has repeatedly urged bishops, scientists and politicians to respect creation while focusing on the needs of sustainable development. His increasingly strong statements about climate change and the environment include a warning that disregard for the environment always harms human coexistence and vice versa. Now, if you've listened to my programmes, you already know that I too have embraced the cause, and with no scarcity of information and sources to turn to. This week I decided to look to one big United Nations organisation that has its headquarters here in Rome, and find out something about its involvement in the climate change issue. I'm talking about FAO, the UN's Food and Agriculture Organisation, whose main objective is to defeat hunger. Well, I discovered that FAO has deployed a substantial portion of its workforce in its newly created Natural Resources Management and Environment Department, where one of the main themes is climate change. I called it up asking if there was someone available to speak to me. I got an appointment for the very next day, and to my delight, found myself face to face with three young scientists, all working for the cause.
Hello, I'm Claudia Hiepe from the Climate Change and Bioenergy Unit in FAO.
Hello, I'm Selva Raju from Climate Change and Bioenergy Unit in FAO.
My name is Hideki Kanamaro from the same unit of FAO.
Let's start from the very beginning, as Julie Andrews says in The Sound of Music, and try and set the grounds for talking about climate change within the larger perspective of sustainable development. What is sustainable development? I asked Claudia.
Well, the definition for sustainable development is something like development that does not undermine the chances for current and future generations. So it means that what we are doing now, it shouldn't harm other people at the moment and also not harm people in the future.
Is this especially in regards to people in the developing world or does it concern everyone?
Well, it concerns everyone.
Claudia, Selva Raju and Hideki explained that at the Natural Resources Department, climate change and environment are top priorities. Specifically, they told me the unit promotes adaptation strategies to build resilience of local communities, advice to stakeholders on integrating climate change issues deriving from agriculture, forestry and fisheries into national development programs, an interdisciplinary approach towards disaster mitigation and preparedness, the development of tools and mechanisms to monitor and analyse the impacts of climate change on agriculture, the incorporation of issues of climate variability and change into capacity-building programmes. For example, Selva Raju said he's involved in a project that focuses on drought-prone areas in Bangladesh.
We cannot make out that all the extreme events are related to climate change. And of course, there is a general consensus that the frequency of these extreme events would increase in future because of climate change. And of course, in that context, taking Bangladesh as a least developed country and given the vulnerability of a high density population to these kind of climate risks, FAO is implementing a program called Livelihood Adaptation to Climate Change. And we specifically look at the kind of risks that are impacting the communities in the drought-prone areas of northwestern Bangladesh. So we try to address a whole range of issues, starting from the policy interventions at the national level, as well as the capacity building and institutional development at the intermediary level, at the district level or sub-national level, and the implementing viable adaptation options at the community level through the involvement of the community from the beginning. And that is one of the most important things that we are doing it from FAO side.
The most effective contribution in the area of climate change adaptation, Selva Raju explained, lies in providing countries with tools and information for adapting their agriculture, fisheries and forestry policies and practices to changing climate regimes.
The program was started in early 2006, And until now, we have demonstrated about 222 viable adaptation options in selected pilot upazilas. So we have selected about four upazilas. Four upazilas is a sub-districts in the northwestern part of Bangladesh, which are all drought-prone already. And the climate change scenario tells us that these drought-prone areas is going to become more severe in future, in years to come, because of the climate variations. So some of the adaptation options are mostly related to water harvesting or rainwater management and identification of new varieties and agronomic management practices, and also building the community resilience through networking of community-based organizations at the local level. And we also train them how to make use of these available technologies. So we are very much convinced about the kind of activities that is going on there at the field level so far.
This past year especially has seen a lot of awareness raising as regards to the effects of climate change and how important it is to act now. Has this made your work easier? Have you found more support internationally, and has going into the field become easier because of this awareness raising, because people are finally starting to understand how important it is?
Well, has it made our work easier? I would say it has been our work more faster and more demanding, more exciting too, because now the demand is really high and all people involved in climate change have really a lot of work to do. But it's good, and it's really urgent to do so. And I see also the funds are increasing, and there are already and there will be lots of possibilities to enhance our activities in the future.
You sound quite optimistic.
Yeah, I'm optimistic.
What is your greatest challenge here and in the work you do?
Well, I'm quite new, so there's quite a lot of challenges. But the biggest challenge maybe is to cover the whole range from the political level to the grassroots level, to connect this.
This is one concept that Claudia Silvaraju and Hideki emphasized time and time again during our conversation. The importance of connecting the political level to the grassroots level for the good of all. It's something Hideki is closely involved in as he follows a project that brings together the clout and the power of the World Bank with the reality of climate change effects on the livelihood of Moroccan farmers.
This is a quite new project that has started just a few months ago. In collaboration with the World Bank, we have launched a project to assess the climate change impacts on crop production in Morocco. FAO is responsible for deriving the future projected crop production into the late 21st century for the agriculture in Morocco. So we collect the current statistics of agriculture production and the weather conditions, climate in the past several decades, and we try to estimate what's going to happen to the Moroccan agriculture and what are the adaptation options for the farmers in Morocco. And the World Bank will take over the project and translate those into the impacts in economics and suggest the adaptation measures for the Moroccan agriculture.
And what about you, I said to Claudia. Are you following something specific?
I'm not yet working on a project, but I'm pretty much involved in the organization of a high-level conference which will take place in beginning of June in 2008 at FAO. It's a high-level conference on global food security and the challenges of climate change and bioenergy. So as the topic becomes more important now, it's also very important to have such a conference. And it's not just a conference. It's like 6 or 7 expert meetings in March, February, which will take place in Rome and which will gather all the knowledge on different topics related to climate change. So there are different expert meetings about for example, about climate change, adaptation and mitigation, also about issues related to food and water security, Then we have a knowledge gap about the effects of climate change on pests and diseases. There's another workshop about climate change and disaster risk management. And also, last but not least, also very important, a meeting about bioenergy and its relationship to food security and global markets.
It's slowly sinking through. Climate change hasn't got to do just with disappearing plant and animal species, with the threat that cities like Venice and Naples could vanish under the sea, with disrupted seasons and millions of refugees fleeing desert or floodlands. It's got to do with all this and much more, as scientists and economists across the globe have to find ways to teach the world to adapt to changing scenarios with new tools and a new approach. It also has to do, of course, with the need to take immediate action to stop climate change now.
So, climate change finally is a top priority for everyone, it seems. Now, you are all experts in the field. What more is needed to be able to really face the challenge? What can ordinary people contribute?
What we as ordinary people can do is to be conscious about the environment that you're living in. So just the little things like energy saving tips, like turning off the lights when you are not actually using, or set the heater for the room to 1 degree, 2 degree lower. This little effort makes a big difference in the end if majority of people start actually taking these steps. And I also want to encourage everybody to start discussing the concerns that you have the environment. I mean, the public campaign from the top side has been going on for a long time, but the bottom-up approach, the grassroots approach, and the discussion among among us, the ordinary public, is becoming more important, and it will be a big movement to actually encourage the government officials to take measures and implement the challenge of climate change.
Is there anything you'd like to add to that?
Oh, there are many other things, like traffic. Rather use the bike than the car. It might be difficult in Rome, but you can be active in different campaigns. For example, next Saturday, at least in Germany, maybe whole of Europe, there's a Climate Action Day with many manifestations. You can join them. You can, if you start thinking about it, there are really many things. So you look to Google in the internet and you will find many sites which are listing these little things. It's also about what you eat. If you eat biological food, it means less fertilizer. This means less energy use. So many things in our daily life are really related to these things.
My three friends had a lot more to say on their specific projects and on the challenges ahead for each of them. But what I wanted to know at this point was whether they are optimistic, whether their vision of mankind's future is a rosy one or not.
I'm very, very much optimistic. That is the strength of FAO, and we have a lot of comparative advantage to work at the field level through the country level offices. So I'm very optimistic to enlarge and this kind of work in many different regions of the world.
I left FAO happy to know that the experts are optimistic. Claudia, Silvaraju and Hideki are clearly committed to their work and deeply believe that the organisation they work with can and will be instrumental in a changing world that has to learn to adapt. Meanwhile, the very fact that three people of such different backgrounds and culture are working together and sharing their personal experience and expertise for the good of mankind bodes well for the future of us all.